So I just want to pick up a little bit of the last week's message, and then I want to move on. We did verse 7 into verse, 7 and 8. But I started with a whole big, dissertation about the state of the heart, the state of the heart concerning your diet. Really, how many of you, that stuck with? Just the diet thing was crazy. You know, and when God began to show me, the lack of effort it took me to change my health and my, I lost weight. That's a beautiful thing. But what started me on the journey, I don't know if you all really remember. Do you remember what started me on the journey? I passed out, yes. Right? It wasn't like I looked in the mirror one day and said, you fat, you need to lose weight. I saw that every day and said, you fat, okay, that's just who you are. You just, you big boned it. Whatever excuses you make. When my body struck back and my health went into a spin, it became real to me that I needed to do something. My Christian doctor, former Christian doctor, gave me drugs and told me that I would have to be on them indefinitely. And that was enough to make my spirit go, no, no, just the inside of who we are. Come on now. And what we've learned about who we are fought against that so-called reality. Stay close with me, because I'm going to make one of those turns that's going to bring you right into the promised land. Just walk with me a minute. There was a knowing in my knower that was not acceptable. There was something in my spirit. Are you listening to me? That rebelled against that supposed truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and by hearing it, and by teaching it, and hearing it. Something in me over years and over time has developed that there's certain things that I don't even have to stand up and get scriptures and rebuke and pray and get people in agreement. I and the Holy Spirit and Christ, and we're all in agreement. And just the immediate reaction to that is, ugh, no, no. Can somebody bear witness with me? You don't even have to pray. It's like, no, no, absolutely not. Don't receive it. Don't even need to say to you, I don't receive it. I just look at you and go, not even a conversation. Why? Because, listen to me, you are that new creature. If you're a new creature, just wave a hand at me. Say, not just in Christ, but in your walk and everything. New creatures in here, right? The word has made you free. You're new creatures. So there's certain things that are just not going to penetrate. As a result of that, I said, it's time for me to be real about what I believe across the board. What I want to talk about today is pockets of faith. Huh? These little pockets of faith we have. This is a yes in Christ. A yay and amen. This is a yes-ish kind of thing. I know the word says it, but for me, it's not quite a yes yet. I believe helped my unbelief sort of-ish. Kind of. We're going to get back to that one. Let's get over here to this one. This one's a definite yes. Yes, hallelujah. This one here, this one is not even a yes. I don't even know. Let's change the scripture on that. Let's move over to this. And so we have these pockets of faith. So I realized as God began to show me the pockets. Yo, you good here. What about right here? No, I believed and got healed. I don't have blood pressure no more. He said, okay. You don't take drugs. You take Holy Wakanda, though. So aren't you still managing your symptoms? It's natural. But you're not healed. I just tell on myself and just let the punches, let it just fall where it falls. Let's just let it sprinkle. He said, how long are you going to take that? See, that's a pocket. That's a pocket. My faith was I'm not taking drugs. But where were you on being healed? Okay. So as you're boasting your deliverance, you still need to be healed, though. And to be healed, there are things that need to be changed that bring about that healing. Stay with me. What things need to be changed? Oh, you want to have that conversation? Yeah. Your diet. So bringing my blood pressure down is a different thing than me learning discipline. And that is also a faith process. Can we have this conversation? See, it's easier for me to continue to abuse myself and take supplements and say I believed. Let me give you another example. I believe in God for great blessings, and then people come in with new cars and new clothes, and they say the Lord is good, when it was really Visa. It was an MC blessing, right? So now, well, I got a better job so I can pay off the bills, though. But we're not talking about a God manifestation yet. We're talking about a pocket. We're talking about you believing for God to do something that you supplemented by other means. Is this a good conversation? So I realized I was supplementing the deliverance, the healing, by not being willing to be changed enough to address that which was causing my physical body harm. Why? Why do we do that? You can raise hands and answer. That's a why. And I want us to practice, because I know people like to speak out. I got about two or three people like to yell out while I'm talking. We're going to shut that down. I usually open the floor for questions, and that's the time that people can speak, and then you don't want to speak. But while I'm preaching, you just want to shout out, okay? So don't do that, but now is the time. Yes. It's the easy way out, but why do we do it? It is the easy way out, but like, it's, I want more than just that. I want a better understanding of why it's the easy way out. What does that mean? less work. She said practical. I guess from the state of mind of where we are at the moment, yes. It's a laziness. All of these things are right. Nobody's wrong. I'm just trying to pull them all in and bring them into one place. See, all of this is working. All of this is working. So we're identifying the traits of us. It's habit. It's habit. And we get into a habit of living a certain way, and we don't. So everything you guys said fits. Changing that habit requires an effort. An effort that we don't usually want to make because we took the effort to create this habit. I'm not saying habits are bad. Habits are a blessing. They're good. If you're in the habit of living holy and righteous, it's a beautiful habit to have. My point is, but then there comes a time where you have to grow and change. So it would be easy for me to substitute what I'm doing than to change what I'm doing. And I didn't believe I could change what I was doing because I've been doing it for so long. You with me? Okay. So when I ask people about their financial beliefs, about their spiritual beliefs, everybody has a place that they believe. We all believe. But do we believe to the point that we're willing to totally surrender all the old habits to take on the new ones necessary? I'm checking the thing to see if it's, you need this for a minute? I can turn it off while you, and grab the mic if that's what's necessary. Let me see, is the battery? Battery's good. So, I mean, it's not bothering me. I can keep going. I'm fine with it. So here's where we are now. Our spiritual diets now have to be changed, just like my physical diet had to be changed. It had to be changed. It requires something bigger of me than I believed that I could ever accomplish in myself. And God knows that I've tried and lost weight and then put it back on and then lost it and then put it back on. And I was like, I'm not doing this again because I'm tired of the frustration of looking like I'm winning and then losing again. Feel like I'm getting there, but then only to wind up disappointed and failing or seeming to fail again. And so I don't want to really try anymore. I'm using weight as a story, but just put the blank in there and drop whatever fits for you in that spot, right? Believing, standing, confessing is mine in Jesus' name. Looking like you're gaining ground only to find yourself with the weight back on. And after a while, I don't even want to try. Not because I gave up on God, because I gave up on me. I just don't even believe I have what it takes to become this thing that God has called me to be. I told you it's going to get real. And we have to, Jesus, we have to know the difference between giving up on God and giving up on us. We think it's all one thing. No, we get to the point that we believe that God is not even able to deliver us. It's just not possible. It's just something innately wrong with me that's never going to get better. Now we get to the diet. Because what have we been feeding ourselves and eating that's caused this faint collapse that made me realize that I have high blood pressure and then realize you really need to do something drastic now. It's serious. But I had to come to the realization that this is now serious. When do we as believers come to that place in our walk and the things we believe in for, that there is a deficiency or something that's wrong that we're not reaching and we've given up on ourselves even though we still believe in God? We don't believe God can really do it through us, and we don't want to admit that, ever say that, because that's not the right Christian thing to say. Come on, let's have a conversation here. Okay, so we're never going to admit that we've given up on ourselves. God can't possibly do that through me. Is this a little too real today? Is somebody other than me relating to this? I know God is able. I've never give up on God. But I've given up on the fact that he can do that for me. So now I'm facing down this diet. I can never lose weight. Never. Every time I do it, I have to go to the gym 5 times a week and work out for hour and a half a day. It's just not in me to do that. I could do it for so long, but then just, I don't love the gym. Some people just do. I just don't. I like it. I don't love it. I like it as a friend. I don't want to marry it. It's a fact. Come on. So I can pretend to be this thing for so long. But then I got to go back to being me. Or at least who I've come to believe I am. You didn't hear that. Or at least who I've come to believe that I am. Who I've been told I am. Through lies, through the spirit, through people, through situations, through circumstances. I've come to believe that I am something. I've given up on me ever being what God said I am. Well, this time, God challenged me. You're taking natural herbs to balance your situation, but what are you going to do to change it? Now, and if I was from the old Christian school, I'm saying, I'm just going to trust you, Lord. But we've learned enough to know that we can't play that junk. So I finally asked God the question that I remember having to ask him when I was in Africa, having to cast out a spirit that I had never dealt with before. I said, God, I know through you all things are possible. And I know that there's nothing impossible with you. So then what is the issue? And he said, you've given up on you. You've given up on you. Well, how do I fix that? He said, you with me? Yeah. Okay. You need to hear this. Very important. Because you'll miss this. You ready? You sure? I don't know if you're ready for this.
I'm ready.
He said, either totally give up on you or totally trust you, but don't do the halfway thing. He said, if you're going to give up on you, then give up on you totally and become surrendered to me. Don't give up on you, but then keep fighting in you to make it happen. Did that speak? He said, either totally surrender or totally go for self. But this thing in the middle where you're trying to feel better about yourself and trying to do it in yourself, and you can't do it in yourself, and then you get frustrated in yourself, and then you decide to give up on yourself, but you still now I'm getting down on yourself because you failed yourself and now you failed me and this whole guilt trip. You know what? In other words, when you winning in God, you're excited, and the moment things don't go right, then you start beating yourself up and putting yourself down on what's wrong with me. So you haven't totally given up on you. You've given up on you enough to believe that God can work through you, but you haven't given up on yourself enough to totally surrender to God. Yeah, like, so God said to me, accept that in you there's nothing to win here. Okay, I thought I've done that. No, you didn't, because you're still trying. And you're still trying and you're still getting frustrated in yourself. And every gym membership you joined and every trainer you paid and everything you did was you believing for me to meet you where you were, but you never totally surrendered. Yeah. I'm going to turn this off. It's getting on my nerves now. In Jesus' name. Okay. So the reality was, okay, I lost some of you, but some of you are still with me. So here's the reality. When you step out to do the things that you believe you're called to do or be in God, and it doesn't go the way you think it should, or it doesn't go the way you thought you heard it would, do you feel shame? Before I move to anything else, let me ask you a question. Why would I be ashamed if it was totally surrendered to God? If anybody, then he would be ashamed. If I gave it to God to do and I totally surrendered it, why would I be ashamed? It's a different mindset, isn't it? I realized I was going to judge God based on how I came out and what I decided achievement was and how that went in my mind. Did I lose you guys? So I realized something. I was giving up on myself, but I wasn't totally giving up to the place that I was totally surrendered to God. My winning, or my interpretation of winning, was still the motivating factor in me, not me having victory in Christ. I need to keep explaining, don't I? Yeah, I can tell. A couple of weeks ago, I said to you guys, in the weight thing, 20 pounds had happened and nobody even noticed. And I was frustrated because nobody was noticing. Remember that? And God said to me, so is that why you're doing it? I thought it was about your health and you passing out and high blood pressure and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So then why are you concerned about what people see or don't see? And I realized that it was once again a self-centered motivation. It was about the praise of men and not me doing something with God. And I was going to judge my victory with God or failure with God based on how people responded. Come on, don't look at me like that. You know I'm telling the truth. The doctor got to tell you well before you accept it. It's still dependent on man. Am I well before anybody says it? Before 15 natural people agree with me? I had a scale telling me what I wanted to hear, but people weren't. So I wasn't happy. Until God checked me. And then all of a sudden I said, you're right, that's not why I'm doing this. And I prayed to my spirit, was checked in it. I didn't just say, amen, I received that in Jesus' name, amen. You know, church folk like to do that too. You don't want to sit down before God and allow the cleansing to take place that takes that filth out of you. And then I had to check the diet. Why was I influenced that way? And then all of a sudden I didn't care anymore. Really didn't care. And then I came literally to church the next week, and everybody was like, oh, my God, what happened to you? And I'm like, okay, you got to be kidding. This God, did you put blinders on everybody so they couldn't see? Like what just happened here? But there was a lesson for me that I could share with you. And that lesson is I do all things victoriously through God by surrendering to God. So the seed of truth in me is, yeah, we want to be acknowledged so much. This is the society that we live in, the world we live in, that we don't hear God's praise over man's. We don't hear God's compliments over man's. So we spend our whole life trying to get man to agree with what God said before we consider it to be valid. I didn't want to be that person anymore. So when I say to you, the diet change for me is not just about the food. It was about a change of perspective of what I was looking for and expecting to receive from God. And what God said to me and what it really meant to me and what my spiritual diet was looking like. And my spiritual diet had to consist of more God than stimuli or what the world said or agreed with. And I had to come to the honest truth and belief, and we all did last week, that we really, really get a small diet of good nourishment, the word, and then the rest of the week is junk food. And how do you expect to live on a junk food diet? How can you not have a heart attack of the spirit feeding on junk all week? There's a reason we like fast food. Because there are a million commercials telling us that it's good. And they put it up there on the screen, and you see the fat dripping off the burger, and the cheese, and the bacon, and it's and you know that. You can look at the grease dripping off of it, but doggone it, it looks good to you because they told you it's good. They told you it's good. It's got to be good. My jeans got to be better than yours. They have a designer name on them. Well, mine don't, but you get my point. They got to be better. There's a designer's name on them. So we're convinced over and over again that we need to receive validation from man above God. That's a bad diet. So if I walk up to you and tell you you look good today, that's a compliment. If I tell you you look bad, that's an insult. And your day is either uplifted or brought down by what I said, depending on who you are. And most people would say that. Even the ones say, I don't give a what he says. The fact that you said that means you really do. But then you could look in the mirror that morning and God tells you you're beautiful, and it doesn't matter if everybody in the street doesn't agree. Don't worry about it. It's plastic. Here's the point. Who are you? What does your diet consist of, and who are you? So to move on, we went on to say that spiritual security is in the man who believes and trusts and relies on the Lord, verse 7, and whose hopes and confidence and expectation are in the Lord. Now, these two statements alone are solid statements to build on. Blessed with spiritual security. Everybody wants that? The man who believes and trusts and relies. So you rely on God above the compliments, approval or disapproval of anybody else. You rely on him. And your hope and your confidence and expectation is in him. No. Just again, your hope, confidence, and expectation is in him. Your hopes are in who? What are your hopes? Dreams, aspirations. Thank you. Go ahead. Keep talking. Desires. Go ahead. Goals, all of those things are the natural things. But what about hopes in your eternity? In the decisions you make, in the steps you take? Direction, clarity on who you are and where you're going. Would that not all fall under hopes? Don't you get out in the morning without realizing it, and you get in your car and hope you get to work safely, even though you may not pray it or think about it out loud? Isn't that a thought? Every time you see some negative on the news, you say, I hope that never happens to me or nobody I love.
See, these are those silent hopes that you don't pay attention to, yet they exist. Look at me. Every single day and every moment of the day, you hope. It's just become so natural to who you are and what you do, you don't pay attention to it. You hope this works. You hope you get that. You hope that's on sale. You hope they still have one when you get there. You hope they excuse you that late charge. You hope you don't get a parking ticket. You understand what I'm saying? We got hopes in a lot of things. But here he says your hope is in the Lord. Now, did I lose you with that? That means we got our hopes so spread out, so many places. Is it really in the Lord? That's not a rebuke. That's just something that makes you think. When I'm just expecting the power of man to bring things to reality for me, my hope can't be fully in the Lord. Do you get that? Do you get that? You apply for a job, because some of you don't get it. I know you don't. You got called back for the second round. They even called you in for the third round. You really want that job. And you sitting home. And you hoping. In who? And don't lie and say the Lord, because it's not true. Is that person who interviewed you. I hope he likes me. I hope that I did well. Everything you hoping in right now is natural and fleshly, and whether you want to accept it or not, it is. Even if you believe the Lord told you the job is yours, you're still hoping in that person. Why then? That's the question that I'm trying to submit to us today, to our minds, to our hearts, to our thinking process. Why are we hoping in them if God said he was doing it? No, can we admit we do that? So who gets dethroned? And who gets the throne? Man does. That's scary to me. When God began to show me that about myself, that's scary to me. That bothers me. That I depend so much on people when God said, I got this. There were people that's supposed to do things for me or do things with me throughout business deals that I've done. And I got so excited. And when those people turned and went the other way or didn't do what they said they were going to do, my heart would sink. My heart would begin to break. Or I begin to get frustrated. Or I begin to lose hope. I feel myself starting. Come on. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I feel discouragement starting to come on me all of a sudden. I don't know, man. It looks like this is not working. And God said to me, Wait a minute. When did I ever say this was about that person? How did you make it about that person? Me and you agreed to do this before you even met that person. Come on, don't act like I'm not talking to you. I dealt with that this week. God said to me, what do you care about this person? We were doing this before they came, and after they're gone, we'll still be doing it. I thought we were doing it. Oh, come on, you don't want to talk to me right now. And I had to check my heart. And I had to come to the realization, I see what you're showing me. I'm still looking the man, aren't I? I will stand up here every week and preach, don't do that. And you're showing me that right here in this area, I still am. I bring the person in and you give the person my crown. I said, "What?" God said, "What was the word that I gave you about your health? That I will be healed." And he said, "Go ahead. When I do what you say and follow you." "Okay. Have you done that?" "Yes." "Have you seen my healing?" "Yes." "What did we say about this thing here?" "You gave me the word." I said, "We're doing it." When did that change? Or did it change? And immediately I made the adjustment in my spirit. It didn't take me long. I didn't say, "Lord, work with me, Lord. Just give me the strength to hold." I was like, "I'm done. That's it. Done. Done." Right. It was, it is, and it shall be as you have spoken. And the prophets of old, that's what they had. The men of God of old, if you look at, they didn't have the news. They didn't have television to saturate them. They didn't have a bunch of mess. They had this and they had that. And it was like, I hear God and I follow God, and don't make a difference what happens around me. Even if they're trying to lead me to death, I still know what God said, and that's what I stand by. We substitute pockets of faith. Pockets. Totally believe this. Kind of believe that. That I don't even want to deal with right now. I know, but the Lord is working with me. When people, you say the Lord is working with me, that's their way of saying they don't want to deal with it right now. In time, I'll get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God's like, no. I got it in front of you right now. I lay before you. Come on, stay with me. Life and death, blessing and cursing. What's the next word? Choose. The next word is choose. Whose choice is it? So he's saying, God, I give you the choice. Don't say we're working it out. I don't need you to help me work nothing out. Choose. Whose report shall you believe? Choose. See, church folk don't have to do that anymore. We give an offering. We believe the man of God. We get the prayer group together to pray. But we don't have to choose squat. And prayers go on unanswered. But we still believe in. They're not being answered because we haven't made a choice. God gave me this vision of myself in the areas of my life that I really, my pockets of faith that were half mixed with faith and half mixed with humanity and logic. He gave me this picture. You want me to tell him myself? Huh? You want me to tell him myself? He showed me sitting in a casino, putting chips down on the table, spreading them out as far as I can, hoping that something hits. And if red 15 hits, I lost on so many other things that it balances out. He said, so are you really winning? You're getting excited about that one number, but all of these here are deficient. They're taking from what you're winning. So I said, you're not losing. You just keep breaking even. I'm telling you what to do. And you have to trust me. In spite of what everyone else thinks or says. If nobody agrees with you but me, in the Holy Spirit, you have to trust me. And that's where the word confident comes in. Whose hope and confident expectation I expect is the Lord. Then it says, you will be nourished like a tree planted by the waters, which we went over last week. I won't go over again this week. and your roots spread out by the river. I'm reading it, but just go with me. You will not fear the heat when it comes, but your leaves will be green and moist. You will not fear the heat when it comes. Why not? Because your hope and confident expectation is the Lord. So you will not feel the heat when it comes. Not if. It'll come. But it's not coming for you. It comes because it comes. Should I explain that? He caused the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the just and the unjust equally. Don't think when something comes, oh, the devil's attacking me. The devil attacks everybody, even his own. He ain't picked you out specifically and made a special assignment for you. And then what church stupidity does says, well, you know, that's how you know the Lord is working with you. When if the devil ain't trying you, so now you looking for the devil to verify that God is good or in your life. You got to see some devil. You see how sneaky that is? It's so subtle. It's demonic. It's deceptive. Just a smidge of truth mixed into it. So now you're looking to verify that God is with you by how much devil you got. Sick. Sick, sick, sick. But here he says, your expectations in him, you trust him. And he says, when the heat comes, it'll come just like it comes for everybody. It's not about you. It'll come. It'll come. But your leaves will be green and moist. You will not be parched. And you will not be anxious or concerned in the year of drought. That means when everybody else seems to be a lack and this and that and the other, you won't worry about it. Whether they shut the government down or not, doesn't affect my life. Nor stop bearing fruit. And that's where we left off last week. Even in those times when it's going wrong for everybody else, if your trust and expectation is in the Lord, you will still bear fruit, even in a drought. Look at me a minute before I go on. How many of us can say we honestly believe that? How many of us want to believe that with all our hearts? I just exposed something to you. I just exposed a pocket when I asked you how many of us honestly believe that. I exposed a pocket. I just showed you there's an area that we don't truly believe. Now, what are you going to do about it? I can honestly say I didn't stick my hand up because I don't want to put nobody in the spot and I want to make other people lie. I believe that. I've seen it for 2 decades. I know it's true. But if there's a part of us that doesn't, let's deal with it. Let's go before the throne with it. This is real then. This is a real conversation. Is this real enough? Then let's deal with it. Let's take a minute and let's just deal with it right now. Go before the throne and just say, God, right here, I come to that realization. I don't have that full trust, but I want it, and I want it now. Amen. And keep that prayer going. You won't be anxious or concerned in the year of drought, and nor will you stop bearing fruit. I see the correlation in that is, and if you are anxious and concerned, you will stop bearing fruit. But I can't believe that because I don't believe you ever stop bearing fruit. And here's why I say that. He said in what we read last message, you won't see it prosperity when it comes. So you will continue to bear fruit. You just don't see it when your focus is wrong. Look at somebody and say, I always bear fruit. That's deep. Say it again. put your hand on your heart and say it to yourself. Come on, one more time. Say it now one more time like you really believe it. I always bear fruit. See, you're feeling it now. I knew it wasn't all through the whole room yet. I always bear fruit. I do. Look at me. I always win. I do. I do. Even if it doesn't go the way I thought it was going to go, I always win. My wife could tell you. Those of you who work close with me can tell you. I always win. I always come out on top. How many of you have been around me more than 10 years? Have you ever seen me fail? Flat fail. Don't know what the heck, just lost. No. Things I've done didn't go the way I wanted, but you never see me fail. Every situation I come out with something. I come out better than I was before I went in. Every time. Notice my confession. I started saying that when that wasn't yet a reality. I sat with God until I believed that. I sat with God until I couldn't see that any other way. And it was hard for me. I didn't have a church telling me that I was right. They were all telling me I was wrong. I went from church to church to church. Couldn't get nobody to agree with me. I said, doggone it, God. And God said, I agree with you. Why isn't that good enough? Goes back to the beginning of the message, doesn't it? I'm trying to find everybody else to agree with me about what God's word says. God said, just agree with me. Just you, me, and the Holy Ghost. We'd be okay. Your wife will agree with you, whatever you say. Just go with it. Yeah, you got agreement. That's two or more. Let's do it. And I made some mistakes. And I did some things wrong. And I messed some things up. But look at me. But I always won. I expect to win. You can say it. So you will not stop bearing fruit. You always will bear fruit. Father God, I pray that you help them see where their fruit is even right now. Help them see where the fruit is right now. Help them see where they are winning even when they can't see it. Help them see what you've done even though everybody may be telling them or their mind may be telling them that they're wrong and they failed and that they lost. Even if they made the biggest mistake and you had to check them just a day ago, still let them see the fruit. I don't know who this is for, but stop feeling sad and bad every time God checks you. Bible says fools despise correction. Correction should use. It should become a welcome thing. Like, yes, Lord, you took the time out of running the universe to straighten me out. I must be important, doggone it. That's a way to look at it, right? I take God. Look, I stand up here and tell you every week how God checked me about something. You don't see me come, I just feel, you know, I just want you to pray for me because God showed me. I'm not even worthy of being your pastor. You know, I don't get up here and do that mess. I come up here and just tell on myself. Because I get excited that God felt me worthy enough. Are you listening to me? To come and check me about myself. Tell me about myself. Check me. I don't like the way you spoke to your wife. I don't like the way you spoke to your kids. I don't like the way you spoke to that person. I don't like what you said about that person. I feel honored that God cares enough about me to get in my face. Set me straight. Get me on a hallelujah. Can somebody other than me like that? So moving on then. The heart is deceitful above all things. And it is extremely sick. Who can understand and fully know its secret motives? I'm going to use that verse to make one point. Ready? Stop saying as an excuse or an explanation or a way out of your mess, God knows my heart. It's a bad ticket. He does, and it's bad. So stop using that as your get-out-of-jail-free card. All you're doing is admitting exactly what this word says. Yes, I know your heart, and it sucks terribly. It's not your heart. It's the truth of the word. It's the truth of the spirit. And God knows the heart, the flesh heart, or the flesh desires of men are wicked. And he says, and who can know the ways of their secret motives? God is explaining it's sick, extremely sick. The natural heart and will of man is not to be trusted on any level. It's sick, extremely. Who can understand and fully know his motives? He's not asking the question saying he doesn't know. He does. Basically, you don't sometimes even know your own stinking motives. You don't realize how manipulative and spiteful you can be when you're doing what you do, or self-centered, or self-driven, or self-motivated, and only looking out for self. And when God shows me that, who are you doing that for? And don't you dare look at me and say, for my glory. Can I just not answer that question? Just say, I'm not doing that anymore. He says, that works for me. I claim freedom. But see, understand this. This may be an awakening for a lot of people in this room. Are you listening? You sure? When God shows you your heart, don't come to me and tell me how pretty God told you was, because when he shows you your heart, it's usually ugly. When he shows you your motivations, they're usually not good. And people come to me, tell me all the good stuff God keep telling them. I'm like, God ain't speaking to you. Because you telling me God ain't find nothing wrong with you. He would translate you out of here just like he did in the old time. He would just take you to heaven if you was that pure. God never has to correct you, ever. You too good for this earth. The heart is sick. Sneaky, spiteful, selfish. Here's what's heavy about that statement. And all of that before, trust in God, your security in him, relying on and confident expectation and hope in him. Then he goes and says to you, because if you trust your heart is sick extremely. It's disgusting. Don't trust it. He's showing you the pros and cons here. This is why you trust me. Not only don't trust men, don't even trust your own emotions and logic. Just don't. Just don't. God, I know I've said, just hear from God and you don't have to hear from nobody else. Yeah, but the word says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So people go off, people come to me all the time, and the Lord told me, and I said, God ain't told you that. Nothing you said is godly. Nothing you said is God directed. Everything you said is as stupid as the days are long. God ain't told you that. Everything you said was all about you and how something could benefit you. Especially when they come to me and say, and God told me, I didn't pay my rent, and I bought a car instead of paying my rent, and now I'm about to be evicted, and I owe the landlord $5,000. And God told me to ask you for the money. He did. Tell him I said no. Said you talking to him. Tell him I said no. And then he kind of had to look. You're not hearing from God, because everything you just asked was all about you. Nothing benefited anybody in that ask but you. There was no salvation for nobody in that move but you. No, I know when God tells me to do it, because before the person starts talking, God says, you're going to give them something. And some of you here are witness to that, and you know. God will speak to me and say, yeah, I want you to help them. And then there's sometimes people I want to just help, because I feel it in my heart. I feel for them. I just want to help them. And God said, no. Because if you do, you're going to prolong their sin. They're not repentant yet. They're not repentant yet. If you help them, then you're going to replace me in their minds. Now they're going to think every time they're in a situation, they're going to come to you. They're going to forget me. All the correction that I've been putting on them and all the chastisement I've been putting on them, they're going to now throw that away because now they figure they could come to you. I'm going to tell you a side story. I'm running out of time, but I'm going to tell you a side story that really spoke to me about the heart and my heart and its secret motives at one point in my life, even me doing Christian good stuff. So somebody came to me one time and they had a financial need. And God gave me a number. I don't remember the exact number yet, so I'm just going to make up one. But it was low. It was like $23.19. And I thought that was ridiculous. Their need, that's an insult. That's like a spit in the face with this person's need. And I could help them. And God said to me, She's just trying to keep you awake. She's trying to help you. You wide awake. She's just looking out for you. She's just trying to help. Okay. He said, leave me alone. Okay, listen. $23.19. Let's just use that number. And I think they needed about $500, something like that. And I'm blessed now, and I got money. God said, give him $23.19. And I, desiring to do good, was fighting with God. Because it wasn't about God. I don't give him no $23.19, what I'm going to look like. It was about me. You see, the heart in his manipulation. You understand what I'm saying? Does this make sense? It was about me. I wanted to do it because it was about me. But after I felt God push back, I've learned, you know, I've been around God long enough. I don't like judgment. Judgment sucks. I'm giving them $23.19. So I put out my checkbook to write a check for this little bit of money. And I handed the check to them, almost nervous. And they started crying. No, I thought they was crying because it was $23. No, I knew something was happening. I knew something was happening. I didn't know what it was, but I knew something was happening. I knew my obedience was about to show itself. And they began to weep and they began to cry. And I said, why are you crying? And they said, God told me he was going to work this out. And he promised me that he would give me a sign. And he gave me a scripture to read, and it was chapter 23, verse 19. Now, what if me trying to show my A would have interrupted the move of God? They needed that number. They needed that. So now they're not looking at me as the deliverer, where if I had done it, it would have been me. I would have gotten God's face. But because I did what he told me to do, that was the encouragement they needed to know that they were hearing God. More than somebody giving them the money, they needed to know that they were hearing God at that moment, and that number did it for them. But in my heart, my deceitful, sick heart was trying to show off. You get the balance now? Take that one, stick that in, stick that somewhere that you'll never lose it. So, we're going to end it on this, and we'll pick it up next week. But I, the Lord, search and examine the mind, and I test the heart. To each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds. Look at that. So that's what we're going to pick up. To give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. That one deed that day, if I had done it wrong, I would have missed out. I would have blocked them from knowing that they heard. I may have messed up my own clarity. Because why should God keep talking to me if I don't listen? But I was obedient. I did what he told me to do. And he got the glory. And I got to write a check for like under $25. This season, the state of the heart is huge. We're learning a lot about our heart. Edward stood up here and talked about how it's been speaking to her, the message. It's been speaking to me as I've been sitting before God about the message. I'm learning so much. But I know the victories are ours, and I know they're not far. And this year is not over. And look like God is doubling down in this last month. He is really straightening it out because everybody has had an accomplishment, huge, spiritual, and some natural, and some both equally. But this set up for what's coming, if you receive this word this year, I will say this to end the message. As I was coming here this morning, I kind of got a different message in my mind. You know, it's Christmas. Death, burial, resurrection. Our Christ, the Savior, is born. And God said, don't you dare do no traditional Christmas mess. Teach about this heart. This is what I gave you to teach in this season. And I knew he was right, but there was part of me was, but God, I never do a Christmas mess. And he said, and until I say so, you're never going to. Yes, Father. Stay on course. Let me ask by a show of hands, who preferred this over a Christmas message? See, there you have it. So, yeah, right, amen. There you go. Right? Said, you heard those. You heard those already a million different ways, right? Amen.